irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Before we get started and introduce you to today's guest, Josh Levine, I'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors, the people at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States and can help you with any of your contingency, temporary, or executive search needs. Today, as I mentioned, we have joining us on the show Josh Levine. Josh is a best-selling author, brand strategist, and a highly sought-after speaker on a mission to help organizations design a culture advantage. For more than 15 years, Levine has helped to build culture-driven brands for a wide range of organizations, including Silicon Valley heavy hitters, prominent nonprofits, and well-respected blue-chip corporations. He is best known as the co-founder of the nonprofit Culture Lab X, and as executive director, he helped it to flourish in an international community. His new book, Great Mondays, which was recently listed on Book Authority's list of the best culture books of all time, teaches organizations how to design a company culture that employees love. Levine is recognized for his entertaining and energetic, as well as educational keynotes that reveal fresh insights and inspire new action. He teaches brand strategy and culture design courses in the groundbreaking MBA program of design at the California College of the Arts to motivate the next generation of leaders. He also has been recognized for his work as a columnist in Forbes.com and has been featured in Huffington Post, Fast Company, and the Design Management Journal. Josh holds a BS in engineering psychology from Tufts University and a BFA in design from the Academy of Art University. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today, Josh.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so this is such a fun topic. Let's talk about Great Mondays. How did the inspiration for that book come to you, and tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I would say over a decade ago, I had a kind of a career challenge moment where I was, which I feel like is relevant here. Which I was transitioning out of or trying to leave a company that I had been working with as a brand strategist. And it was a tough time because the housing bubble collapsed. This was like 2007, 2008. And so there was no jobs to get. Nobody was really interested in hiring me. So I had this moment of like, oh, crap. And then I had this, 6 months to kind of go, all right, if it's not about a job search, like, what is it about, right? What did I want to really invest my life in? And that was kind of how I figured out that I wanted to help more people be happy at work. And eventually learned that that was called culture, and just kind of dove into learning all about culture and applying the kind of creative strategies that I use as a brander, as a brand strategist to this field. And ultimately, Great Mondays is kind of, as we say in the brand world, a value proposition. So if you know why you come to work, and you have, you trust the people you work with, and you believe in what you're doing, then I think every day can be a great day, including the ominous Monday.
I know, everybody's like, oh, geez, it's Monday. How do I survive the week? And I think it's unfortunate that we've come to that place in society. And I think the younger generations, particularly Gens Y and Z, are really holding corporations to a higher standard and saying, hey, I'm not going to show up to work on Monday unless I like the company.
Yeah. You are absolutely right. And I, for one, am excited about this kind of larger social pressure that is really about creating work that is meaningful. Now, I don't think it is a company's job to make you happy. Like, that's not their job, but it can be meaningful work, and that can then lead to an individual becoming more happy. And I think when we have these Gen Y, Gen Z coming into the workplace and saying, look, I could go get money anywhere and probably more money than from you. What do you have to offer me? I think we get to have a conversation that moves beyond perks. And that's what I'm personally, my mission is to help more organizations understand that when they invest in culture, they're not only going to be recruiting and retaining better people, but they're going to be they're going to find the people that want to do the work. They're going to be highly engaged, and they're going to want to do the work intrinsically, right? It's a sort of intrinsic motivator.
Interesting. Yeah, it's funny because this caused quite a stir. About a month or two ago, I had given a talk at a partner retreat on millennials and how this particular law firm could retain more of their millennials, which then led to me publishing an article on LinkedIn about it, about the accidental adversarial relationship between generations. And some people had a few things to say about it because they said, oh, this is BS. You know, the millennials were bending over backwards. People should only hire baby boomers or Gen Xs. And people have strong opinions about it because there is the camp of people who says, this is silly. Why are we bending over backwards to make these younger generations happy? And then you have the other camp of people who says, we have these great innovators. Let's make them happy. Let's find a way to have a win-win. So it's a fascinating time that we find ourselves in the workplace.
Absolutely. And I think if we don't meet that challenge, you're going to get, if you're not ahead of the curve, you're going to feel the push of kind of the asking for all the trappings, right? We call it the perks, where it's, they're like, they understand, this new generation understands that they can get whatever they want at the tight job market and they can ask for all those perks. But if organizations and leaders are able to step forward and say, look, we have a very clearly articulated purpose. We understand what our values are. And this is the kind of people that we're looking to do this kind of work. Then I think you're going to get the people in there who are going, yes, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I've been searching for. I don't really need kombucha on tap if I have purpose.
Okay, so let's talk about that. What is this mystical, elusive unicorn animal called purpose, and how can companies create it?
Purpose is a company's why. It's why they're in business beyond making money. And it's really the first component of culture that I outline in my book, Great Mondays. And the reason why it's the first thing is because it sets the context for everything else. So what we need to be thinking about as a business is what is unique, what is differentiated about us, what is it that we're doing? Why are we here? Why should anyone, you need to define for yourselves why, because otherwise everybody else, employees and customers, are going to say, I don't care you exist. Like, why should you exist? It doesn't matter. I've got plenty of options. And so that's what we're thinking about, is the reason the company exists in the world. So let's take for an example, whether you love it or hate it, Starbucks, can't argue with Starbucks' success.
True.
Their purpose is to inspire people one cup, one conversation, and one neighborhood at a time. And what I love about this is that it ties directly to the product. Of course, you know, you could say wink and a nod, right? Your caffeine is inspiring. But then also, you also have your baristas, who have been highly trained to make sure that they have, they make a deep connection with your customers. They call them by your name. And we can also extend that to making sure our space is a safe place for people to have conversations. It's someplace they want to hang out. And then finally, what I like even more is the idea of a neighborhood, because what they want to do is, and they're going to succeed, and that's fine, is they want to improve the neighborhood that they move into. And they do that with community contribution programs, ways that they can give back. And that's part of what they're trying to do. And so whether you believe it or not is one thing, but to be able to articulate that and say, this is what we're doing, I think is a really powerful way to rally and inspire communities of people, the people that you are hiring and the people that are going to be your customers.
So you just touched on an interesting point that I want to highlight, Josh, and that says whether you believe them or not, which does tie directly into the culture question, is you can have a company that has quote unquote great values or vision. In fact, I'd had a gentleman, Jeffrey Hazlett, on the show a couple of weeks or a month or two ago, and he was talking about this hero factor that companies have. You know, they have this capacity to do this, and everybody wants to work for a company. But the question is, do you actually go out in the world and do that? Or is it a moniker or just a kind of cheerleading thing? Let's go out there and do it, but it actually doesn't get done. So who knows? Yep. How do you find out if that's true or not at a company?
Well, look, you this is exactly why I moved from brand into culture, because brand is all about helping companies articulate these brand promises. But if people aren't engaged, how do you deliver on those? So I think that's exactly the question to be asking. And I think there's we are very sophisticated humans. We know when a company is BSing, at least as a customer, right? You know it's like kind of a misfire ad, or like it's just they're not delivering what they say they are. So there's kind of this gut feeling, and I know that employees have that. But look, we have tools. As employees now, potential employees, we have tools, we have ways of finding out. We can ask for introductions to other employees and references. We can go online, we can read Glassdoor and comparably.com. Those are two sites that do a good job of revealing what's happening on the inside of the company. And so there is, it is not just about having a purpose and values, but living those purpose and values. And again, I don't think it's never a destination that you're going to arrive at. Yay, we did it. You know what I mean? Like, we're there. We've succeeded to culture our company. You know, it's not like that. Of course, it's a journey. But I think as long as you're on that path and you're being earnest and honest about what you're trying to achieve, then I think you're going to be on the right right path for finding the best time, the best employees that are going to do the best work for you.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, actually. There was a retreat I was at a month or two ago, and at this retreat, there was a woman there who is in a C-suite at a major corporation, and her daughter was there, who was 18. And I was asking the 18-year-old, I said, what matters to you when you are going to graduate college? Where do you want to work? And she said, whatever company I go to work for, our generation, meaning the Gen Z generation, we're going to hold companies to account for what they say. And to your point, today you might be in alignment with your values, but one misstep and you could be out of alignment. So I think that it's kind of like the wizard behind the curtain, where for the first time in history, we can really pull back the curtain and see who the wizard is. And is there even a wizard there to begin with? And to get a sense of, is this somewhere I want to stay? And I think it's an interesting question that for the first time in history, job seekers are starting to ask and companies have to account to.
Yes, absolutely. The distance between the inside and the outside of the company, the executives and the workers is decreasing. It's becoming more porous and more transparent. And everyone from customer to employee to leader needs to be understand and be aligned with what they're saying. They can't admin days, right? The old moniker was lie big, because it doesn't matter. But now it matters tremendously. You cannot lie. And I love the way that you're describing that, where it's like Gen Z, they're going to hold companies accountable. I think Millennials are asking for what they want, but Gen Z is stepping in and saying, this is not okay. You have to be through and through what you say you are.
And so let's play with this, because this is an interesting thing. This is the workers of the future who are coming in. Who is the person or people in an organization who should be or could be accountable for creating this culture dynamic? Is it the C-suite's responsibility? Is it everyone's responsibility?
Yes. sorry, bad news. It's everybody. Yeah. So there's a couple things that I outline in my book, which is to say that culture is everybody's responsibility. it's you can't just wait for an executive to say, now we're going to change our culture. It culture change. This is my I misquote Gandhi in the book, and I say culture change is be the culture change you want to see in the world. And so it starts with you.
And
you don't have to wait. And that said, leaders have incredible power. This isn't news to anybody that's been inside of an organization. And the CEO and the C-suite, everybody's looking to, you know, as mammals, we are going to adhere to the rules of the organization, implicit and explicit. And if your CEO is acting one way, but then saying that everybody needs to do something another way, that's a major misalignment that's going to be problematic. So ultimately, the CEO needs to make sure that the entire C-suite is aligned and delivering. The values are not just something that are supposed to be for the workers, you know, the rank and file. It's everybody. They can be very powerful, and most organizations. And so it is from the top, and it's from you. It's from the individual. And so the real powerful organizations, the ones that have the most effective, compelling cultures, are going to be the ones where those things are aligned, where you're saying, leaders are saying, this is what we want. We're going to give you the resources. Tell me how you want it to change. How do we evolve it? What could be better? Real folks, we've got conversations that can happen that we can kind of amplify one another.
I love that. And I do want to address for any of our listeners out there, either listening now or in the future, I think we are having a couple technical glitches. So we'll have to go back and just maybe hit pause when you listen to the show later. I know that there were one or two little weird kinks going on. Sometimes when Mercury's in retrograde, that happens. So Josh, if you're listening to the episode later, I lost you there for a second or two. It's kind of like an alien came in and had a female voice that was talking over you for a second. But I think we got most of what you said. It's okay. Right. It happens. That's, you know, the joy of podcasting and radio is that you can listen and tune in from anywhere in the world. And also the downside is technology still has little quirks sometimes that we get to work our way through. So thank you for your patience out there for all of our listeners. So Josh, let's take it back to the book, Great Mondays. What are some other components about Great Mondays that you highlight in the book?
Well, the intent of the book is really to provide the tools for leaders at all levels of an organization to be able to have the capacity to imagine and change, have the kind of culture they want. And so there's a system, six components, and it starts with purpose, as we discussed, and values. Values are your how, and your behaviors are really why we're talking about this. We're trying to affect choices. So that's a really important piece of that. So that's establishing what we hope to achieve. But just because you put it up on the wall, your mission statement or your values are on your key card, right? That doesn't mean that they're going to happen. And so the second three components are all about activation. And those are recognition, rituals, and cues. And so I'll focus in on recognition. Now, everybody has or has been part of some sort of rewards program or recognition program, like total rewards. The problem with most recognition or rewards programs is that they're not rewarding the right thing and they're not using the right thing to reward. Most rewards programs are rewarding the outputs, the outcomes. What we really want to do is actually recognize and elevate behaviors, not only any behaviors, but values-driven behaviors. So that's why it connects right back to those values. If you only focus on sales, it's going to happen. You look at Wells Fargo and the scandal from a few years ago where they really dialed up the incentives. We've got to get more accounts open. Well, of course, people are going to cheat. And that was, this was thousands of people, and I don't think there's thousands of people that are immoral inside the organization. I think it's the pressure of the organization causing these people to, as humans, just make poor choices. And so to me, when we talk about looking for how to improve your culture, how to create great Mondays, We want to not just establish what it means, what kind of values, how we're going to behave and make decisions, what kind of behaviors and choices we make, but we've got to hold people accountable, and we've got to elevate and reward those people, the kind of behaviors that those people are going to have. And then we can say, great, other people will go, oh, that's what people want. That's what the leaders are saying is good. And that's the kind of choices that we want to be making inside of our organization. That's how we improve the company and improve my status within the company.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that what I learned from 15 years of having had a recruiting career is it's very easy in recruiting because it's sales driven. That's where recruiters get paid, is when somebody accepts a job. Exactly. So it's very tempting to go down the Wells Fargo route and to say, oh, I'm going to force people to take jobs or coerce them to take jobs. But then you lose A, values, you lose respect, and you lose the ability to have lasting relationships. And so one of the things I always remember instilling into my team members when we worked together was that give people the opportunity to equally say yes or no and let go of any attachments. Because the moment any of us as human beings become attached to any outcome, whether it's a sale, opening a new account, whatever it is, and especially if there's the pressure to hit your numbers, whatever those might be, in whatever capacity you work in, it is tempting to go to the dark side and say, oh, I'm just going to cut a corner here, or, you know, maybe not give people the full picture of it. And that's why I think recruiters get such a bad name. And so it really takes something to be willing to lose the deal, to lose it for the sake of the person being happy. But then in the long run, you're going to have much more loyal clients and job seekers because people will respect you for having the integrity to tell them when the job might not be right for them.
It is a constant struggle between short and long term, isn't it?
And it really is.
When we think about designing company cultures, right? That's the headline of the book, How to Design Cultures Employees Love. When we talk about designing cultures and culture change at all, this is the long game. This isn't the short game is all about, you know, worry about. Most of these tools are about helping an organization thrive for decades. How do you create a long-term vision of success at your organization? You can make small improvements and you will see improvements in the short term, but ultimately this immediate the energy that is invested and the resources invested now in culture, you're going to see most benefit in the long term, right? That's really what we're working towards. And that I don't work with clients who are looking for a quick win. I don't work with clients who are going to say, okay, I'm just building this so I can get quickly acquired and turn a profit. That's just not, I mean, that's fine, right? It's not illegal and it's totally fine to do, but that's not the kind of organization that I want to work for or work with. And that becomes an important part of how I do my business and how I decide to be in the world.
And I think the thing that organizations and people like are starting to figure out is that you can actually create an organization and do the right thing. Now, the right thing is arbitrary, right? But, you know, treat your customers with respect, honor your values, honor your workers. And by doing so, you can actually be successful. But to your point, some people want the quick. Okay, I want to close a deal right now. I want our numbers this quarter to increase, as opposed to having a great overall year and knowing, yes, you'll be able to retain greater amounts of workers, you'll be able to have greater happiness in your company and greater productivity, but it's just going to be, to your point, the long game.
Yeah. My my brother is in medical device sales, and there's always those, you know, quarterly wins, but ultimately his success is dependent on his relationships with surgeons. And so that's if he knows that there's another company with a different product that's going to do better for that particular patient, he's going to tell them, even if it cuts into his quarterly sales. And I think that's the kind of tactical example of how values come to life. And really, if, you know, it is to the to his benefit and to everyone's benefit in the system, in the long term, you're building trust. And that is going to be way more valuable than selling one more piece of equipment.
One more widget. Absolutely. Well, Josh, yep. tell our listeners, are there any takeaways or anything I didn't get a chance to ask you today that you'd love people to walk away from today's show with?
Yeah, culture is the cause and effect of every decision that we make, which is why I believe it is the only sustainable competitive advantage in business today. You can steal intellectual property, but you don't want to steal someone else's culture. Your culture is authentic, and that's why it's so important to invest in it. The way that I see the future of this is that it's not just something that happens just because of what you're doing. It's something that needs to be proactively designed, managed, and measured. And it can be and should be a business tool, a business practice that every organization should get proficient at.
I love that. And if anybody wants to purchase the book or find out more about perhaps working with you, what would you say? Where would they go to do that?
GreatMondays.com. I've got a ton of free resources to download there. You can find links to the book. And we release a new culture tool every month to help our community really spread the word and improve the kind of work that they're doing. So we're always pushing the conversation forward.
I love that. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been Josh Levine on the show with us, author of Great Mondays, talking to us about culture. You've been listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer K. Hill. And if you missed any portion of today's episode, you can, of course, find it later today on Get Yourself the Job page on latalkradio.com. Or later in the week, it will also be available on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes, which is the name of our Facebook page as well, where we often share articles about the latest labor stats and things going on from that nature as well. If you're interested in the other show that I host, which is every Thursday at 7 a.m. on Awake TV Network, you can go to MetaBizics, MetaBizics.com, and find out more information on the weekly show that I host on the other network. So thanks so much for tuning in today. Wishing everybody a wonderful rest of your week. And thanks again for joining us, Josh.
Thank you. That was a real pleasure.
Okay, take care, everyone.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.